Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. The Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come play. Your glory, God, is one.
baby gray, and I wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see he looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hand and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see he looks like you. Looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some would ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you.
Praise be to God. What would Jesus do? if he walked among the earth today. In Exodus 20:5, in the NIV says, "You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." Let us pray. Elkanah, you are a jealous God. I give you praise because of the restraint you have shown in my life each time I place something higher than you. Sometimes I look to another person to solve my problems or provide what I think I need rather than looking to you. But I know that your character as Elkanah feels dismissed or hurt. Yet your love as my Savior brings me mercy time and time again. I adore you, for you are strong, Elkanah, yet you also show me grace and favor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection. And I pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music and our prayers. Amen.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life. So I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know.
You thought I was worth saving,
so you came.
You came and changed my life. You thought I was worth.
Praise your holy name, Father. Elkanai, which means the jealous God. You know how many times we have gone to a friend before seeking your presence or your wisdom in a situation. You know how often we try to bail ourselves out of trials or temptations rather than looking to you. Your favor and your hand have protected us, opening doors for us and granting us success. And yet we feel pride in what we misconstruct to be our own doing. Forgive us for provoking your jealousy, Elkanai. Forgive our insensitivity and sin. Amen, amen, and amen.
Let's all hold hands.
Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message, amen, which is entitled, The Convicting Word. Praise God. The scripture reading for this message is coming from Romans 7:7, and it says, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Amen. Praise God for the reading of his word. Have the writer says, have you ever been doing your quiet time or reading the word and felt the pang of conviction in your heart? If there's anything that can identify, convict us of, and uproot sin in our lives, it is the Holy Spirit working through scripture. He speaks straight to you, convicting you of what you never even realized was wrong. The word not only shows us our faults, but it's also our weapon against sin. 2 Corinthians 10:5. In other words, through scripture, the Holy Spirit reveals not only the sin we are committing, but also the consequences it is producing. Why it has such a hold on us, and the root of error causing it. With such understanding and the knowledge of our true identity in Christ we find in the Bible, we are equipped to win a lasting victory over the bondage. Therefore, when you're reading scripture and feel conviction, don't ignore what the Lord is saying. Instead, confess your sin, which means agree with God about it, and repent or turn from your path to the one he shows you. And know he is making you free indeed. John 8:32. I pray that this inspirational devotion message is an inspiration to you as it is to me. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for scripture and for convicting me of sin so I can be free. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory.
With holding nothing, with holding. hiding behind the hurt and pain. It's true, deep down inside, you're ashamed. I came to show you the way. My love is always here to stay. I chose you long ago, before the world was made. You feel me? So where you at?
The story isn't over. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation where it says, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. My text for this message is coming from Matthew 6 and 10, and it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Amen. Praise be to God. Again, the title, "The Story Isn't Over." The writer says, when British drama Line of Duty concluded, record numbers watched to see how its fight against organized crime would end. But many viewers were left disappointed when the final empire that evil would ultimately win implied, I wanted the bad guys brought to justice, one fan said. We needed that moral ending. Psychologist Peter Berger once noted that we hunger for hope and justice, hope that evil will one day be overcome and that those who caused it will be made to face their crimes. A world where the bad guys win goes against how we know the world should work. Without properly realizing it, those disappointed fans were expressing humanity's deep longing for the world to be made right again. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus is realistic about evil. It exists not only between us, requiring forgiveness in Matthew 6 and 12, but on a grand scale, requiring deliverance in verse 13. This realism, however, is matched with hope. There's a place where evil doesn't exist, heaven, and that heavenly kingdom is coming to earth in verse 10. One day, God's justice will be complete. His moral ending will come, and evil will be banished for good. Revelation 21 and 4. So when the real life bad guys win and disappointment sets in, let's remember this. Until God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven, there is always hope because the story isn't over. Amen. To God be the glory. Question. Why do you think we hunger for hope and justice? And how can praying the Lord's Prayer help us face evil and disappointment? Think about those two questions. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our daily bread for this evening. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
Come to serve the Lord. Assemble in one accord. Words is like a two-tongued.
God. Elkanah, thank you for promising in your word that you will punish the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate you. Yet you have sent your son Jesus Christ to offer mercy and to break the cycle of your wrath whenever a heart turns toward you. Thank you for being a jealous God, because that indicates the depth of your care. If you did not love us deeply, more deeply than we can ever understand, you would not be jealous. What we did or did not do would not matter to you. Your jealousy assures us of your care. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Yeah.
I ask you to teach me ways to honor you in my life, in my actions, in my words, and in my thoughts. Let my lips be sprinkled with that which brings you delight. Let my desire reflect on your yearnings. Enable me to always give you the praise that is due you. Give me spiritual discernment to recognize your hand at work and empower me with the boldness to proclaim your goodness to others. I ask for your favor, Elkanah, that I might live a life that truly respects you and bless others. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play another selection. And then at 7:15, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. So in the meantime, I pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music.
gotta say. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You gon' break out your craft. Break out your words. You gon' break out the praise. Last time, when somebody clap your hands, this a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got, that's all you got.
Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection, The Blessings of Abraham, and after that, one more selection, and then I will come with the word from the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tribe City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Go, y'all. Practice. Yeah. Write a book. Score a film. somebody's going to walk out of here and go right into their inheritance. Come on, tell them what it is. Say it's children.
It's yours. It's yours. It's your inheritance.
Wave your hands as you know you're going to go get it.
Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of the book of John. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Amen. And when you get to chapter 1, go down to verses 35 through 42. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And it says, the first disciples followed Jesus. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. And they replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon. and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Nearly five decades ago, the Associated Press carried the news that a man named Scott McVeigh had been given the responsibility of dispensing $3.5 million from the estate of the late Geraldine Rockefeller Dodge. Mrs. Dodge, who died in 1973, bequeathed her subsidiary estate to a foundation for charitable, scientific, literal, or other educational purposes, or for the prevention of cruelty to animals, or for the encouragement of art. As the executive director of the Dodge Foundation, McVeigh had the task of deciding who was to receive the money. His was a thrilling but fearful responsibility. Jesus came into the world to give away something more than $3.5 million. He came bringing the rich gifts of God to the hearts and lives of all humankind. He gave the gift of forgiveness and the gift of a new life. He gave the gift of encouragement and the gift of truth. He also encourages his followers to be givers of great gifts. Amen? So if we wait until we can give great sums of money, such as Scott McVeigh could give, we will never become the givers that our Lord would have us to be. Tonight, let us consider the possibility of giving the gift of affirmation to others. A young and very successful pastor would often say to individuals and to his congregation, "I affirm you." As he spoke concerning some decisions or actions that had been made, in this manner, he was encouraging them and strengthening them in the decision that had already been made. Webster defines affirm as to confirm or ratify, to assert as valid. The word of affirmation is defined as being confirmation of anything established, ratification. Amen? Jesus majored on giving the gift of affirmation to people. John's gospel declares in John 3:17 in the RSV Bible, "For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Jesus did not come into the world to be a critic. He came to be our Savior, to accomplish this task. He affirmed the worth of individuals in a manner that attracted them to him and caused them to listen to him. So you and I can also give this priceless treasure to those about us. Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Holy Heavenly Father, open our eyes that we might behold the wonders of your grace. Help us to see your love for us and your love for others. Help us to respond to your grace and power, and help us to be the instruments that communicate your love to others. Accept these tithes and offerings and bless them to the end that suffering will be relieved and that the needs will be met and that your name will be proclaimed to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. My text for this message is coming from John chapter 1, verse 42 in the RSV Bible. And it says, Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, so you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. Amen. And my title for this message is, Give the Gift of Affirmation. Praise be to God. So in John 1 and 42, Jesus saw not only who Simon was, but who he would be. That is why he gave him a new name, Cephas in Aramaic, Peter in Greek. The name means a rock. Peter is not presented as rock solid throughout the gospel, but he became a solid rock in the days of the early church. As we learn in the book of Acts, by giving Simon a new name, Jesus introduced a change in character. Amen? Praise be to God. So Jesus gave the gift of affirmation to Peter. Our Lord had the habit of seeing the good in others. He recognized the vital or fluid nature of Peter's heart and visualized the fact that this man could become a great rock. He thus affirmed him at the very beginning of his acquaintances. This gift of affirmation helped Peter to develop into the man that he later became. Amen? Do you know people who have great potential and who need the gift of affirmation? You're affirming them in the decision that they have made and in the potential they have could be God's good gift to them. Praise be to God. So turn with me to John chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 7 through 28. That's John chapter 4, verses 7 through 28. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 7. Amen. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" But Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You are right. You don't have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you are living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, excuse me, don't want the computer to go to sleep, amen. "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while the Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming. Indeed, it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah. Just then, his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, "What do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her?" The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone. Praise be to God. So in John 4:7-28, Jesus gave the Samaritan woman the gift of affirmation. Our Lord crossed racial, gender, religious, and cultural barriers to minister to the Samaritan woman at the well. She had been terribly abused and had become a nobody. Our Lord honored her by requesting a service of her. This was a compliment that brought shock and surprise to her in John 4:9. While our Lord asked questions that probed to the very heart of her being, he did not do it so to depress or embarrass her. If we could hear the tone of his voice, we could understand why the woman was not frightened away. Jesus was eager for the poor woman to enjoy the privilege of drinking living water from the fountain of life. Amen. He had to affirm her as a person of worth before he could communicate to her the truth of his messiahship. Do you know some spiritually destituted person who has experienced the heartbreak of disappointment after disappointment? Do you know someone who is living in the gutter who could benefit by a proper affirmation on your part? This woman was one for whom Jesus was going to die. God so loved the worst among us that he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for them. We must give to them the gift of affirmation. If we could communicate with them effectively. Amen. Praise God. Now turn with me to Luke 19, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10. That's Luke chapter 19. Luke 17. Here we go. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And it says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, but Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick. Come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Amen. Praise be to God. So Jesus gave the gift of affirmation to Zacchaeus. Among the Jewish people, the publicans were about the worst of the worst. They were considered traitors and harlings of the occupying Roman army. It was they who purchased the right to collect taxes and profit at the misfortune of their own people. Consequently, they were excluded from the synagogues and from all acceptable social contact with Jewish people. When Jesus visited Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, he took the initiative and affirmed Zacchaeus publicly. The people were shocked at Jesus insisting that he must go home with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was shocked that Jesus would want to go to his home. We can be assured that Mrs. Zacchaeus was even more shocked when Zacchaeus and Jesus appeared for lunch. Jesus did not criticize and accuse Zacchaeus of all kinds of crimes so as to cause him to feel negatively about himself. Instead, with wisdom and compassion, Jesus affirmed him in such a way that Zacchaeus made some radical changes in his lifestyle. Amen. Do you know someone in the community who is held in disrupted by most of the religious people? Have you sought in any way to affirm this person in such a manner as to be God's love and mercy and grace to him? It may not be easy to give the gift of affirmation to this person, but such a gift could be worth more than a sizable sum of money. Amen. To God be the glory. John 1. Praise be to God. So you see, the strongest and most prevailing argument with an awkward soul to follow Christ is that it is only he who takes away sin. Whatever communion there is between our souls and Christ, it is he who begins the discourse. He asks, what seek ye? The question Jesus put to them, we should all put to ourselves when we begin to follow him. What do we design and desire in following Christ? Do we seek the favor of God and eternal life? He invites them to come without delay. Now is the acceptable time. 2 Corinthians 6:2, it is good for us to be where Christ is. Wherever it may be, we ought to labor for the spiritual welfare of those related to us and seek to bring them to him. Those who come to Christ must come with a fixed resolution to be firm and constant to him, like a stone, solid and steadfast, and it is by his grace that we are so. And as I bring this message to a close, praise be to God. And my conclusion is this. Oh, boy. The devil is a liar. Amen. Amen and amen. We seemingly have a built-in tendency to be critical toward others. Some of us never give the gift of affirmation to others. How long has it been since you affirmed the worth of your companion in a manner so as to convince him or her of your deep appreciation and your sincere admiration? How long has it been since you have given the gift of affirmation to your children? Have you been stingy with the gift of affirmation? Life will take on new meaning and beauty for you when you look for the positive and the good in others. Develop the habit of giving the gift of affirmation. Help others to recognize that in the eyes of God, they are of infinitive, indescribable worth. Help them to accept and appreciate themselves. Help them to dedicate themselves to God and to others. If you would discover the joy of giving, give the gift of affirmation. Hope and pray that this message was a blessing and an inspiration unto you, as it is always to me. Amen. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you to the body of, to the family of Christ. Amen. And all you have to do to continue your walk is to praise God, is to ask and pray to the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church to further your walk. Amen. And my benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our word for the night and our program for this evening. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. And if you have to go out tonight, please bundle up. It's chilly outside. And may God protect you as you journey through wherever it is that you're on your way to this evening. Amen. We love you. We thank you. We appreciate you tuning in to Pray One for Another. Again, may God wrap his arms around you and protect you and keep you safe. And always pray one for another. Amen. We love you. Good night and shalom.
thing about it is, it's all right about that. It's just that it's only her and me. And a lot of times the thing.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Talking to you is hard sometimes.
No, it's not.
Because you don't listen.
That's not true.
You don't. I'm trying to tell you something.
Okay.
I'm like, you don't.
All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. In all that we do, no matter where we are, all to the glory of God. Everything belongs to Him in the fullness of His blessing. Nothing is possible without God. As far as the eye can see, He owns the cattle on a thousand